Yvonne M. from the Norvana area.
Well, this won't do. I'm going to get it turned off. Excuse me for one second. I think I've got an alarm on here. I'm coming from some chaotic moments, getting out and people I'm staying with and who's in the bathroom. And they came and said, and she was very careful. She said, be mindful of your time. Well, she's the one that was bringing me, ran this late. So I'm settling down. The minute I walk into a meeting, it gives me peace. And I think in the beginning, that's probably why I came here. My brain was constantly going. Things were happening. Everything was going wrong because I made bad decisions. I had no ability to make decisions. So when I came into a meeting, I was at peace. And it carried me through. I'm one of those people that went to meetings every day. Every day we got together on the weekends and piled in a car and went into the city and caught a couple of meetings there, maybe come back out and catch our night meeting. We lived in meetings. My clean date is July 30th, 1990. And so I came up with that crowd that told us, like, get inside. What are we doing standing outside at halftime? Meeting started back up. And, you know, for knowing how arrogant I am, I'm so surprised. And I didn't think I belonged here. But they were so strong, I'm like, I would go inside and maybe mumble under my breath, but I would follow. They herded the sheep, and we needed it. They taught us to respect this program. A lot of people came crawling in, and they really helped me. And at times when I wasn't doing the right thing and in a lot of pain, they would pick us up and carry us for the day and stay with us. You know, it was very different then. And I've had to adjust. Old timers don't like to adjust to the way it is. We think we know how to do it. We think it should be this way. In reality, times are changing and we've got to adjust. So I have a sponsor who has a sponsor. She's quite old. I work the steps still. I'm right now on step 3. And I am so grateful for this program. I was grateful because when I first got clean, I was shocked. You know, people told me, I don't think you'll ever stop. And so then I went, got busy with the work and busy with events and busy with that. But I've come to another point of being grateful that I've done a lot of growing up and that there's not a whole lot of big deals anymore. Everything was traumatic for me. Everything, you made me angry, you, whatever. Everything was a lot of emotion. It's just not like that anymore. And I'm so grateful that life, they say, life doesn't change, you change. But it seems like life has changed because my perspective on it is different. You know, I'm learning to accept people where they're at. There have been times when I've wanted to leave the fellowship. My disease says you don't have to keep doing this. You're here. Our fellowship in my area is very young. A lot of the old timers were kind of all apart and very few. And then I'm an old timer and old. And it's a young fellowship time-wise and age-wise. And I keep telling myself, I came in just like that. I was just like that. I was confrontational. I was mouthy. I was always talking too much, and I knew all the answers because I was smart. I had a good job. I had some not yets. But if I was so smart, why am I in here in these rooms? I was in denial for so long, heading straight down, doing all the things everybody else did, doing the things I thought you could never tell me I would have done. But I'm smart. I'm going to quit. Life has been unfair to me. I had a divorce, left with my daughter. I was in a lot of pain. I didn't have a life of my own before I knew him, and I felt like he took the life away from me because my life depended on how I made them happy. That's such a bad place to be because you never know what's going to happen. And when I'm left like that, I didn't have anything to stand on. I didn't know who I was. So this program has really changed me, and step work has been very important for me. Because I didn't think I had any character defects. I really didn't. I thought I was cute. I could dress up. I had a nice job. How could you tell me? But I'd been locked up. I mean, I'd been through the whole thing. But still, I couldn't see it. So it took me a while. And I worked the first 3 steps. And worked the first 3 steps again. finally did a four step, and I've done several four steps on things stuck on. My relationship with my daughter has been tough. She's not in this program. She's done very well for herself, but I can see her in the inside having a lot of the same issues, and I have to let her be where she's at. She's a grown woman, and she's successful. I have to learn how to be a parent to an adult, and that's different. I still want to say, but don't you think, but blah, blah, blah. She doesn't want to hear it. I wasn't available when she was small. She's independent. So I have a lot to do with who she is, and I have to accept her and love her just the way she is. That's been a process. So it took me a while to come to the traditions. In fact, people were saying, I run to the meeting, love meetings. And it's a tradition. So it took me a while to get into this. And what I've heard in another meeting, and I agree, I think I have to have worked the steps and been here to really appreciate what these are about. I used to tell my sponsees, my recovery is my personal recovery, what I'm doing for myself to stay here and how I'm developing. But when I get into a relationship, I said, be careful because you're adding a whole new program. Because I can't tell people, that's your shit, I'm going where I'm going and I'll be back, that's your shit. No, it's my shit to know how I'm affecting you. When you get further into the steps, it's like, I'm not just responsible for me. I'm responsible for what I say, how I act, how it may affect you. That brings us down to this, it affects NA as a whole. Because if they say the steps and the traditions go together, and I could see that in the first three, but I got lost in how they went together. I couldn't see it. But they say in here that the meeting, the group, the area is going to be just as good as the people, as a recovery of the people, individual recovery of each individual. And so it's important that I work the steps and get to this point. I love that and I picked the wrong book up, but I like to read the basic and then get into the other, because this is probably what I got clean on. So each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting the groups or NA as a whole. My character defect, self-centered fear, right? But, you couldn't tell me I was fearful. But when I stopped using, I felt so insecure. I felt so awkward. I thought I was tough in the street. I sold drugs. So if you try to rip me off for something, I caused a big scene. I screamed and hollered. And I got beat up a couple of times trying to get out. But I thought I was all of that. And then you come in here and peel that covering off of me that I thought I was everything. That's why I thought I didn't have character defects. And it took me a little while to detox, and I was very insecure. When I would walk in the door, people turn around and see who's coming in. I wanted to crawl out. I did not know how to speak up for myself, and I learned that through my unhealthy relationships. Finally learned it. Pain brought me to my knees various times in different areas, and I became willing to change. So self-centered fear, control. For me, controlling. You should treat me this way, and you should do this. You're the man, and you do this, this, and this, and I'll do this. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And so my control came in meetings because I'm smart, right? This piece still stays with me. And when I first came in, I'm like, how did they get up here? And how much do they paid? I walked into the rooms. I did not go through treatment. So I was pretty toxic, and I was real stupid. And so I asked these questions, and I'm like, can I go to those other meetings and still come here? And they're like, you keep coming back. I detoxed here, was up and down to the coffee machine. I needed all the attention. The men could say hello, whatever. Everybody I hugged, especially the men. And it's probably what kept me clean in the first few months. I was looking at people's pockets, the men, wondering who had a package. I didn't believe y'all were clean. So my first thing is, comes up for me in meetings, is control and not being open-minded to someone else's opinion. I've learned that I have a responsibility. They say I have a responsibility when I help another person to listen to you. To listen. So I'm also done some recovery coaching and trained there. That has really helped me to listen to you. To identify with your pain before I run my mouth. And because really, that's all I wanted was somebody to hear me. somebody to understand me. And so in this, you know, I failed many times. When something would come up in a group and I thought it should be this way, I was like, but no, but, and I've made a big scene. And that's conflict. And that separates, this is at the group level, that separates us. People get mad. One time a guy walked out and said, F this, I'm not coming back. And I'm like, well, he must not need to be here anymore because he doesn't understand that this is the correct way. So I've learned that whether I'm correct or not, I used to hear people say, it's not so important to be correct. I'm like, I couldn't get that. I don't have to enforce my opinion on anybody, even if it's the right way. Even if it's written in here, I'll tell you where it is. But I don't have to enforce, I don't have to enforce my opinion. The guiding principles say we're going to fall sometimes. And from those falls and that pain is a lot of growth. So will groups. So will areas. I don't know where our fellowship is heading now. You know, we'll make mistakes, and we'll do that at the group level. And maybe if we get chaotic or all our trusted servants have a hard time with service and people are filling in for each other, and sometimes people go away because they don't see that same people sitting there stably. We project something out into the people that attend. And sometimes group real small, and they're like, what do we do here? What's our part? And so we learn. There are a couple of things that come up for me with this, and I'm going to talk very honestly about these. These are some of the things I struggled with. One of them most recently is unauthorized literature, the baby blue, and anything else. The baby blue was started in another area. They thought it was cheaper. Some people have some issues with the World Office that's nonprofit. They're nonprofit because they have to be to trademark and copyright our literature. We want our literature protected. We don't want another 12-step program quoting our literature and putting it with their name. So they protect our literature for us. They don't run us. The votes go all the way up. We vote on everything. Or our representatives. They don't run anything. They do get salaries. It says that we can have service bodies, right? I've heard that there are a couple right here at this group level. I don't know. So people are threatened by that. If you want to make changes, gather together and do it the right way. Send it up through the region. But we've got to be open-minded, because once I do that, I'm pushing that I want this. And I may be wrong. And if I'm right, the fellowship isn't ready for it. Isn't ready for it. And I can sit back and say, okay. So unauthorized literature came to our group. Somebody said, hey, I brought all this stuff back. It was photocopied, and it is, and it's got a light blue cover, this particular one. And it's been around for many years. And if you read the information on the website, there are bulletins where it has come up, and it came up in a vote, and they voted on it. They talked about it. They took it to the board. It's unauthorized literature. A piece of half of our literature and a piece of the tradition from another book that we have already gone beyond because there was a mistake in there. It said the World Office is not a part of NA. What would we do without them? They handle all our core material. They have helped us broaden around the world by giving out our material. When you have a group that you're starting and you're poor, they will give you a startup kit. They have the same spiritual principles, and they are addicts. So this stuff came out, and I talked about it at the group. A couple of guys sat there, didn't say anything. They got X amount of copies and paid for it, and they said, this is cheaper. This is good for the newcomer. We want to put it on the table. Well, they brought it back. They didn't discuss it with the group. And I said, you can't do that. I said, but they said it's cheaper. I said, by the time a newcomer really, honestly, really wants to get into this, really, because we give books away early on, I said, they probably can buy their own. We have white books. Why do we need this? I finally called, and I didn't know what to do. Would I leave the meeting? I didn't want to. I've been there quite a few years. So these kinds of things, if they're written in our literature, if they're online, it talks about unapproved literature. If you've got a piece of one approved literature and a piece of another, and you put them together and you've copied that, that's not been approved as you're giving it out. It's no longer approved literature. Someone got into discussion. They said, well, we can have public service announcements. No. NA approved literature, approved exactly as you're distributing it. It's got to have the trademarks. It's got to have everything on it to protect us. So what happened was they voted on it. Most of my group is young, and they voted it in. So I'm a female, right? This is my issue, but possibly could be true. We don't carry a lot of clout, and sometimes we threaten men because we've got some information. So they didn't want to hear it. And so I couldn't believe, because there was one guy said, you know what, and he's good buddies, right? If I had really listened to you, I probably would have voted differently. Then they told me, I said, so we can't vote on something that, it's illegal to distribute information like that. If it's got a trade, it's illegal. And the world did sue a couple of people that had really started all this. And they ended up in some compromise, which the fellowship, the people said they didn't get everything they wanted, but they had distributed like thousands of copies. They don't want to do that. I think it was not a good experience for them. It's not spiritual, right? They're in an awkward position. But if it's not legal, it's not spiritual. If it's not legal, it can't be spiritual. And so, yes, you want to help the newcomers, then give them some copies of books if you want to. You ask the world, because they will help us. If it's not legal, it's not spiritual. And so they voted on it. It's in our policy. A month later, I brought back all this information from the world office. It's all online. They said, we already voted on it. I said, the motion is null and void because it's not legal. That we already put in our, and we say 6 months, those are the rules that we've looked. I said, okay, what could I do? They never brought it in, and I'm so glad they never brought the stuff to the meeting. I don't know. Some people at the world say, remove it from the table. I know how that would go real well with a big 6 foot guy for me to remove it from the table. So it never came. In the meantime, I went to, I happened to go to the forum that just came up in our area, and they were talking about the same thing, because it's been going around again. And so they said that they were putting out the bulletin where all the information is what is authorized. They're putting it out in a pamphlet soon. It will be coming out. So at least we'll have some supporting information. That caused controversy there. That weakens our unity. These most of these traditions, especially these early ones, are about being unity. If we don't work together, we don't have anything here. We become toxic. We do that real easy. Just takes a few of us to spread. Yeah, you know, we're get-wit, right? We like to still, we got that old hang tough together thing, and sometimes we're not going in the right direction, and we start to split. We start to split. These meetings are doing this, these meetings are doing that. I'm not going to that meeting. And for me to be a part of unity, and I've been thinking about this recently, is for me not to talk negative about a meeting. I don't like that meeting, you know, because they're acting out here. I don't like that one because they're all new. I need to hear the newcomer. I need to remember where I came from. I don't like this because so-and-so is there and never shuts his mouth. So I've learned not to be doing that. When people say, I'm going to, oh, I said, I'm going to go to this other meeting. I don't have to share that because I'm at a different point in my recovery. I never know how I'm going to influence people. All meetings are good meetings. And when I'm in an open spiritual place, all meetings are good meetings. When I'm in an open spiritual place, I love every single person in there. I mean, I actually love you like this and need you in my life. When I'm messed up and I'm in my character defects, I'm like, oh, there's so-and-so. Oh, God, we got to go through this. I'm in a wrong place, and I miss my message because I still need to get a message. I think they say the longer you're here, the closer you are to a drink and a drug. I think it's true because I've had two times when I have not wanted to come here. And somebody said, not in this program, if you're the smartest person in the room, you might be in the wrong room. I'm like, oh, that did it. My mind said, you don't belong here anymore. Go to the other fellowship. No, you don't belong here. Don't you see how long you've been here? You haven't picked up. Look at your life. Everything that I have in my life is only as a result of coming here. Anything I've accomplished, I haven't accomplished it. Because if I was left to my own devices, I'd still be in the street. I would still be in the street. Therefore, anything my higher power did for me from day one, he's still doing for me. He's still teaching me how to go to work on time, not be. I still struggle with those things. Anything I have, the brand new car, anything, is as a result of a higher power lifting me from that hell.
picking me up, because I was dumb, and placing me here, and I woke up in the rooms with you. So unity is so important. We can fall apart. We can get sick in here. I can get sick and be off on a tangent, and people see me and they say, man, I thought you were going to relapse. The group can get sick. Our area can get sick. Our whole environment can get sick. And that's what was happening with this. So that's one of the main things that I want to say about that. The other thing that I thought about is, I'm going to say this, outside events that are going on here, parties, meetings, take away from this fellowship. I know that we do them in areas, and they're non-NA because they're done by some of us who are profiting. And I can't say anything about those that do that in my area. I used to go to all the dances. I was so glad for them until I heard people talking about this. But that 3 or 4 years, I stopped going to them. But I feel, my opinion, based on my interpretation of this, that we're taken from this convention when we create, especially creating them at the same hours that we're having the same events. We're exploiting our people who don't know that they're non-NA because it's all of us there. And they deserve to make an informed decision. And we are taken from this convention. People put in a lot of hard, kick-ass work. Work hard all year. Battled through things to kick their butt here. To go, for me to go and create another event, it does not unify us. So that's my opinion on that. The other thing about us staying healthy is I think that rotation is very important. The guide says it. It's very important. We all have a certain personality, and the meeting starts taking that on. But not only that, and that's what happened, I think, in my group. I can't drop one position or finish and take another and fill in for the next guy because I'm always in service there, and I get big-headed. And then I get closed-minded. It's not good for me to always be in position. And rotation is important. It's also important because we let the people coming behind us, oh, you can't do it as well because you're early. I learned the same way that they deserve to learn. We have to give people an opportunity to rotate into these positions and let them learn. That's healthy for us. That's healthy for us to see different people up here. And the group kind of change according to their personalities, even their personal characters. It's good for us to see a change of people in there because we get stagnant. We get sick, always in the same position. Unity is probably the core of all of this for me. And I think that's about all I'm going to say. That's it. Thank you.
Let's thank Yvonne for sharing.